Have you ever wondered why government seems to be the enemy of the people? And I'm not an anarchist, but it just, when you look at history, the longer a government stays in existence, the more corrupt, the more autocratic it becomes. And the people who are under those governments, they suffer. And we're seeing this now in the United States with the rise of devastating oligopolies and monopolies. Oligopolies are multiple monopolies. And we're looking at this right now, and it's unbelievable. We're going to actually get into the Zionist oligopolies in America, and I can't cover it in one segment. But I'm going to cover an aspect of it that should be very, very concerning to you. Very concerning. And we worry about TPUSA having lost its mission under Charlie and now becoming an instrument of Netanyahu. They've been kidnapped. Their mission's been kidnapped. And now they have turned loose an army of social media people. They're paying $7,000 to $11,000 per post. And we have the tape from Netanyahu to prove it, so please don't deny it. And they're attacking people like me and Zach DeGregorio and Candace Owens, and they're basically saying, shut up. Don't ask for an investigation that means anything on Charlie Kirk. We've told you what it is. Now go away and shut up. Sean Hannity echoed that on his show. I think he wrecked his career with that comment. But we're going to look at the Zionist influence in one particular area, but I just want to take you back. It's not just TPUSA. We have had 1,040 pastors of mega churches in Israel being trained to be ambassadors for Israel. And I'm going to, at some time, do a deep dive. Israel was God's chosen people in the Old Testament, tried to get them to the promised land. Commissioned Moses with the mission, the burning bush, and all that. And that's all factual. That's all true. I have no question about that. But it wasn't until we had the Scofield Bible did it become the mission of the United States to serve Israel. Netanyahu, speaking to the American Congress, Joint House, got 58 standing ovations. More than any other president ever, including all State of the Union addresses. And he said basically, our survival in the United States depends on Israel, a nation of 9 million people an ocean away. Now, I would advocate for the defense of Israel should they be attacked. But with 400 nuclear weapons in their arsenal, I don't think there's much danger of that. Terrorism, yeah, but we all face that. We see it all the time. And it's not just confined to a few countries. The horrible tragedy in Australia, where having a Hanukkah celebration and 15 Jews were massacred by crazy people who were clearly anti-Semitic. And that does need to be called out. That does need to be dealt with. And Israel's defense should be assisted, but not to where it's the number one priority. And this is what's being demanded of us. Shut up. Sit down. We'll spend your money, your tax money, any way we want. And by the way, TPUSA, let me tell you something. When you're a 501c3, I'm paying for your mission. Your mission was once noble under Charlie, but you got greedy and you followed the wrong people, and now you're going to pay the price. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. You know, Peter Attia, who I think is the exercise health guru in America, and there's many good ones, but Peter stands out above all others. And Dr. Peter has said, exercise is the best way to reverse all-cause mortality. It's above any medicine. It's above anything we can do. And I agree. But the problem is, you have to be able to exercise. And sometimes the pain of exercise will prevent you from doing as much as you want to or as much as you should do. And I was one of those people with my knees started to buckle up. And I used to have 4% body fat when I was 40 years old. And in the off season, I was still playing basketball with my college players that I was coaching. But the knees went south. Well, I found something here a year and a half ago that's reversed all that. And it's the NanoSoma liquid gel. And you put it on your joints, and it's not put it on Monday, and you're okay by Tuesday. We're not going to make any false claims here. It took me, well, I felt difference in about a week, but it was not a big difference. By the time I reached the 6th week, it was pretty amazing. By the time I reached the 8th week, I was symptom free. And today I am symptom free for what I suffered. This grows pluripotent stem cells in the applied area. And that repairs much of the damage. And then you can get back to doing what it is you want to do. Normal household deals, you're doing projects, you can do that. You can carry groceries without pain. You can get out of the chair without pain. But most of all, you can do what you need to do for your body, which is to push it a little bit in the gym or in your home gym. And that's what this has done for me. And it's what you can have done for you. All you got to do is go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, TPUSA is not the only captured organization. We have a problem. We have a big problem with our education system. And the murder of Charlie and the attempted shutdown of people asking serious questions by Zionists, the Zionists within TPUSA, Sean Hannity, ultimate Zionist, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, same thing when he was on Tucker's show. It's our Christian duty. No, it's not. It's our Christian duty to treat everybody with love and respect. That's our Christian duty. Our Christian duty is not to favor one nation over another. And being against the Netanyahu administration for what they committed in genocide is not anti-Semitism. It's called being for justice, being on the right side of history. History will judge that event. But in our education system, we got a problem. Is the events of Charlie's investigation, from my perspective, and I said this when I was on Jim Fetzer's video presentation series, where he had many, many really good guests. And I came on and talked about Charlie. And I said, the thing about Charlie's death is if there's a silver lining, and it's a small silver lining, it opened up a view of the powers of control in our country that I wasn't as fully aware of as I should have been. And one of them is the Zionist control. I mean, 89% of Congress is on the AIPAC payroll through campaign donations. We should never allow American politician to take a foreign investment. But to add insult to injury, AIPAC doesn't have to register as a foreign lobby. They're the only ones. Every other country, Spain has one, they got to register. Canada has one, they got to register. But not AIPAC. Why? Special privilege? No, the law applies equally or it doesn't apply at all. But here's what we have discovered through delving into China and looking at things that popped up. And what popped up for me was something I didn't know. And being a former educator, I was shocked. Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's number one person, her father, Robert Maxwell, tied to Intel and the Mossad. He owned McGraw Hill. Now, who's McGraw Hill? A monopoly over the textbooks that our kids read. Oh, there wouldn't be any bias there, now would there? But it gets worse. As you go down this rabbit hole and you trace the ownership of McGraw Hill to the present time, because Maxwell's gone, we come across a company called Platinum Equity. And it was founded by a guy by the name of Tom Gorse. He was born in Nazareth. And this man is deeply involved with his company in for-profit prisons, partners with Marilyn Addison, another huge Zionist big donor to TPUSA. And she's spending $20 million to defeat Thomas Massie because he's not on board with unbridled aid, uncontrolled aid to Netanyahu. So what did Gorse do? Well, he purchased McGraw Hill. So the Zionist influence over our books that our kids read is a monopoly. And you know they're being propagandized. So it's not just the propaganda that they want to execute over TPUSA in their presentations, at their public presentations. It's your duty. It's your duty. To support Israel. No, it's my duty to protect Jewish people from abuse. Be an ally to Israel and aid in their defense if needed, but not to be a partner in their foreign wars of imperialism and abuse. That's my duty. And I don't subscribe to the Scofield Bible. It is not a Christian Bible. It takes Christianity and it perverts it to a worldview. I digress. Do you know, by the way, that Merrill Madison owns the Dallas Mavericks? This Gores guy, he owns the Detroit Pistons. Why do they own all these pro sports teams? You got the Russian oligarchs involved in the New Jersey Nets. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Let's get down to Platinum Equity. Besides the textbooks, what they do, they're involved in for-profit prisons. And it's interesting. I just mentioned this not too long ago. We have people being abused in prison that are sentenced to private prisons, and they're working for Fortune 500 companies, making goods, and they're paid pennies on the dollar. And if they don't conform and do what they're told and work abnormal hours, and prison becomes a sweatshop, then they lose privileges. Well, for profit, they've lost a very big privilege. Platinum Equity has acquired a company called Securus. And Securus Tech is a company that's involved in communications. And they'll use all kinds of different kinds of communications in prisons so prisoners can communicate with their families. Well, on the surface, this looks like a really good idea. We know that people that stay connected with their families while they're incarcerated have a much higher rate of success, and it's kind of an anti-recidivism pill when they get out, and they have a better chance to go on and lead as normal life as possible. The problem is with Securus, there's a twist. They don't allow in these prisons now in-person visits in these privatized prisons. And this is a company that's owned by Tom Gorse. This is really bad, people. They're charging these inmates 21 cents a minute to talk to their families. Many of them don't have the money. And the ones that do, wow, it's a problem because they're being drained of any resources they'd have, or their family has to make up the difference. And many of these people come from poor families. So many people in our prisons today, our privatized prisons, are not having contact with their families because they can't afford the mandated communication. And it gets worse. As I looked into this, there's a 50% kickback to the counties that oversee these organizations of privatized prisons. That's right. And it's all above board. I mean, it's a financial deal. And they guarantee 50% kickback. Now, you can't, as a county official, legally take the money and pocket it, but you can get better office furniture, travel to more conferences in places like Barbados or Maui. Yeah, it's a dirty, dirty deal, and it's treating people subhumanly and separating them from their families if they're not willing to go along with your for-profit scheme. So here we have an organization that propagandizes our young through textbooks, and then abuses prisoners and keeps them from one step of important rehabilitation from talking to family members unless they can come up with the money. Whoa, I mean, are you just, this is unbelievable. Let me tell you what else I've learned about how they construct private prisons. And again, this goes back to our Zionist influence. They'll do a study of local school districts and they'll look for the lowest reading scores in the third grade. And they use this as a predictor. And it is an accurate predictor. Who is likely to underachieve in school? And it creates something that I've actually written about, oh, about 12 years ago, called the school to prison pipeline. And it exists. And these, and not being able to read is a big correlated predictive factor involved in this. So they find out where these low scores are, and not too far away, they're acquiring or building a privatized prison. Or if they acquire a prison, they'll convert it to privatization. For a long time, I've been saying privatized prisons should be outlawed, totally outlawed. And they're a monopoly. Oh, and there have been some interesting people involved in these privatized prison. The Bush family, for one of them. So we look at this, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm looking at my notes here, and this is just unbelievable. There's a company called CC Sision, sorry, Sision, and they track your every digital move. So Sion is owned by Platinum Equity. And what I discovered when I looked into this, the banks can't do this, but firms have been approved to do this. Data gatherers can do this, but they purchase information about you. Your banking transactions, your internet visits, and mostly they're using it for profit. They want to figure what to market to you. And we've all had this experience. We're sitting around our table and we're talking to our family about, gee, wouldn't it be fun to go to Florida for vacation? And within 24 hours, all of your computers involved in that conversation that are voice sensitive and voice recognized, they all start getting ads for vacations to Florida. We've all experienced that kind of phenomena. Well, that comes from this company, and this company is owned by Platinum Equity, another Zionist organization. And here's my ultimate fear with this. My ultimate fear is that this information will be used to create a naughty and nice list for the friends of Netanyahu. I don't see how this goes anywhere else with this conclusion. This is not innocent. It's not harmless. This company also, and their related companies, controlled again by Platinum Equity, gets into home ownership and the property tax scam associated with education, which you have never heard about, but you're going to today. There is a gentleman out there named Vexler who's talking about it, but he has not made this link. And I'm not going to claim any great claim to fame here, but I came across this. I cross-checked it. There's no question about it. What Vexler and what I'm going to be telling you about here with the property tax scam and every school bond issue is a scam. Oh, there's official government involvement with this right now at the state level. Starting in Texas. I believe there are five states that are looking at this. There's actually legal action that's been filed in Texas, and I believe it's including 1,000 school districts. But I would never, ever, ever vote for a property tax increase to support a school bond ever again. And I'm going to be getting into that in detail, but this is all controlled by these same people. And these people have one loyalty, and it ain't to America. This is where the data took me. I would never have come across this information had I not been researching Charlie. And you know, it's really interesting to me. Why would Kash Patel forbid Joe Kent, Deputy Director for Counterterrorism, chief aide to Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, why would he and Susie Wiles, who worked on Netanyahu's 2023 campaign, why would they deny Joe Kent FBI information to perhaps look at the possible involvement of foreign actors in the assassination of Charlie Kirk? They just forbade it. When I started coming across this kind of information, the lights started going on, and all of a sudden, it made sense. This stuff was not to be revealed. The thing is, though, is this is publicly available. No one has called me up on the phone and say, "Dave, I want to tell you a secret, but you can't use my name. I'm going to be the unnamed source, and this is a big story, and you're going to get lots of clicks." And it's not that way at all. I came across this just through investigating Charlie Kirk. And this opened up a whole nother set of doors. And I'm telling you, people, there's a side of America that you're not aware of. I was not aware of it. And as I've discussed this with some people before I decided to go public with it, I said, "How does this sound to you? Except I don't care really how it sounds. It's publicly available." And people said, "Whoa, this is amazing." I think someone who might have some ideas on this would be my friend John B. Wells. I go on John's show about every 6 weeks. And in fact, actually, his wife Brenda has written a great article on Space Force. We're going to be having her on this Friday. And I'm going to give John a call to see what he knows about this, because he said some things to me. I thought when I was reading this stuff, I said, "You know, John has kind of mentioned some sidebars to this before, and I'm going to just see what he knows." I would encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to keep an open mind, because where I found this, other people are finding other things. The Charlie Kirk thing opened up a whole can of worms that we didn't know existed. And I certainly am not the only one, and I'm glad I'm not the only one. That's how you get silenced. But I'm not the only one that's coming out with information previously unknown. Many of my colleagues are beginning to come across this. But what's interesting is I can see now why Netanyahu, and this is on tape, and people like Tim Pool were at this meeting. And I'm going to have something to say about Tim Pool today too. But they're paying social influencers $7,000 to $11,000 to attack people like me. Netanyahu is. And that's on tape. And he said, "We must win the information war on social media." Well, Netanyahu, I'm already on the side of defending Israel. And I hate your government. I can't wait till your government, I mean, you, and I can't wait until you're replaced. But we already support the people of Israel as an ally. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? We've already given that nation over $3 trillion. Isn't that enough? Doesn't that show our loyalty? How far does the domination of America go? Well, if I were to go out and get hit by a bus today, this information is not going to be suppressed any longer, because there are a lot of people. As I called people and they go, "Dave, yeah, I'm finding this part of it, and I'm finding that part of it." I said, "Fine, I'm going to leave alone what you're doing. I'm going to pursue my angle, you pursue yours, and we got to wake the people up as to what's going on." Here's the bottom line. We elected Donald Trump, and we had several coalitions who don't necessarily agree with each other, except on a couple of things. We wanted affordable housing. We wanted control of the border. We wanted the fentanyl to stop. We wanted the economy to get under control and spending to get under control. And we wanted America first in our foreign policy. Okay? And the America first and those principles are what united people from very diverse backgrounds and very diverse interests, and oftentimes not agreeing with each other. But we agreed on these things, and we produced a landslide victory for President Trump. I don't think we're getting our money's worth. We're not America first. If we were America first, we wouldn't be spending the billions of dollars we are doing nothing off the coast of Venezuela. If we were America first, We wouldn't have given $35 billion to Gaza operations for Netanyahu to do what he did. And Charlie called that out, by the way. Something TPUSA doesn't want to hear. That's why they tell us to shut up, accept the official version. We don't want your conspiracy theory. Well, I don't think when Charlie went on Patrick Ben David's show and he said it was genocide in Gaza, I don't think that's Dave Hodges saying that. That was Charlie saying that. And TPUSA wants to bury that. I want America first. We need to do a course correction. I think at his core, President Trump is America first. But he's got a lot of flies in his ointment. We need a purge. And when Netanyahu was receiving those 58 standing ovations in Congress, it was Republicans and Democrats, and this is the only thing they agree on. Are you ready to listen to me now to say in the upcoming primaries with the Republicans, we need to have the Toss Them All movement surface? We need all new people, minus a couple. But don't make many exceptions, because you make too many, you're going to end up with the same horse crap you got in office right now. We need to replace the vast majority of the House and Senate. One third of the Senate's up for election next year, 100% of the House. They all, with maybe five exceptions, need to be replaced in the primary. Now, some of them will run unopposed. We can't do anything about that. But we could take the lesser candidate and say, we won't be any worse off. I mean, you could have Mamdani running against Ted Cruz, and we'd be just as well off with him as we would with Ted Cruz. Are you ready to get started on the Toss Them All movement? Make this spread. And it doesn't spread. It could spread by an organization. We could have a website. We could have someone in charge of it. And we could be publishing the reasons why Ted Cruz should not be reelected, but he's not up for election. But I'm just using that as an example. We could publish those reasons, and then we could get people in there, right? And what would they do? Well, here's what the responsible thing to do is. Number one, it's a imprisonable offense, 5 years and a $1 million fine for any individual accepting foreign money who's running for political office. That includes AIPAC and every other foreign entity. Number two, we outlaw all corporate campaign donations. Number three, we take campaign donations and we limit them. How much can one individual limit? And if someone's caught doing the Act Blue thing, okay, they go to prison. Plain and simple. We just turn the investigators loose on it that discovered the Act Blue situation, which was mostly at that time Project Veritas. What else should we be doing? No dual citizenship in Congress. You're either an American or get the hell out. That's what needs to happen. These are the changes we need. And then we need to have line item vetoes where a president doesn't have to accept a bill in its entirety. Also, too, we need to put a limit on bills because if they go over 5, 10 pages, nobody reads them. Do you know right now we have a confiscation written into a bill that was passed last Tuesday, and the confiscation is for precious metals and food? Did you know that? Yeah, we're preparing an investigation on that. I'm confident in telling you what I'm telling you. I don't know that I have enough of the receipts on the details yet. I need to go through this 1,500 page plus bill. We need to limit these bills. And bills must be limited to one issue only. You don't get to vote on one issue and sneak in three other horse crap issues. These are the things that we need to do to reform our government. And we need to do it with new people because the old people are making too damn much money on a corrupt system. And starting the first day of the next term after the election, insider trading is imprisonable by the same laws that would put you and me in prison for doing the same thing. Martha Stewart would probably have a party at her house. Although she was never convicted of that. The FBI lied and said she lied to them. Unfortunately, she talked to them without a lawyer. That's why she went to prison. Oh, and the other thing is, too, we strip down the CIA to its bare bones and rebuild it with oversight. And we do the same thing with the FBI. No stone left unturned in either one of those organizations. And when we do things like that with a new Congress, then we can start going about being America first again. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Make sure you check out our TV show. We got a whole lot of new stuff up there. Some hiding in plain sight stuff, right? You know, we've talked about what that is. Also, to our geopolitics, people love it. The commonsenseshow.tv is where you want to go. And we'll see you back here next time. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Please help us by sharing what we do. We're on many platforms and they're all digital, very easy to share. We don't get help from any algorithms. So please help us get these important messages out. And if you're a person of faith, this particular segment is going to be of special interest to you. Mega churches are dying, and it's catastrophic in the decline. And does it matter? How will this affect the faith? There'll be a day on this planet where all will bend their knee to Jesus. But until that day, we are obligated with the help of the Lord to keep the faith alive. And right now, the faith is being threatened tremendously by both internal and external forces. We're going to cover the internal forces first. Then, in a follow-up segment, we're going to do a brief presentation on an external source that I want nothing to do with when it comes to my faith. You probably are three steps ahead of me on that one. We are brought to you by a great and tremendous set of products. If I could have a prayer granted in this area, it would be that everybody would be on these products. Everybody. Why? Because they boost immune system. They reduce joint inflammation, grow pluripotent stem cells, and allow people like me who were done with certain activities, rediscovering the activities. I have a goal, and I'll let you in on it because it'll be embarrassing if I can't meet it. But at my advanced age, I'm trying to recapture a little of my basketball ability and having a little luck here. I mean, the shot's starting to come back, the range is slowly increasing, and I'll never be what I was, but I had some skills. And I'll tell you, I had a by the way compliment, kind of a backhanded compliment. I'm in the gym last week and I'm working on ball handling and I'm doing behind the back, between the legs, and stuff I used to be able to do and shoot some shots. And there were a couple of guys in their late 20s, early 30s playing one on one on the other end. And I walk out, you know, carrying my gym bag and my ball. And the guy says, "Nice job down there." Okay, well, if I was 20, he wouldn't have been saying that. But nonetheless, I'm trying to recapture, and it's because of these products that I am looking at actually beginning to play as competitively as I can again. Now, what you're saying, what was the pinnacle? Well, I did have a pretty successful college career in basketball. Actually made a European team, but opted out to do the coaching thing. Thanks to Larry Brown, the ex-Denver Nuggets, Detroit Pistons coach, who advised me not to do that. Talk about you're 24 years old and this guy is your main reference. Whoa, pretty good, huh? Anyway, these products are restoring my youthful vitality. And I'm telling these narratives here not to brag or certainly not embellishing, but to show what's possible. The spray brought me back from life-threatening illness. The gel, I can do things in the gym I haven't done in over a quarter of a century. And then you have the cream, the skin cream, fine lines and wrinkles, but more importantly, cuts and burns. That works really well. If people took these products, I believe our general health level would increase exponentially. And it's a fraction of the cost of what you pay, especially over time at the doctor. The doctors don't want to hear this. By the way, I told the pulmonologist about how I overcame the strep lung linings. What? No, that was his reaction. If it doesn't burn it out, cut it out, or poison it, it's not valid. Okay, but it was valid for me. It'll be valid for you. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/ excuse me. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Get all choked up talking about this. It's pretty cool. Well, I want to talk to you about the death of the mega churches and does it affect the faith? And people said, Dave, how did you become a strong Christian? I don't know if I define myself as strong. I think that's a relative term. But I will tell you, like most people, I tried other things when I was young and none of it worked. And even with some of the goals I accomplished, there was always that feeling of emptiness. I remember very early in my coaching career, my team had an amazing run of victories. We overachieved for the talent we had, and we won a championship. At the end of it, I'm standing there in the middle of the court, celebration going on, and I'm thinking, there's got to be more to this than that. So this is deeply personal, and that really kind of launched me on a journey where I began to seek a higher spiritual value. And today, I'm still working on that aspect, but I'm a lot closer than I was. And I will tell you this, I won't answer all your questions. We don't have the cognitive capacity. You have to accept some things on faith, but some things become readily apparent or proven to you as well. And if you go down that Christian path, and if you're new, you'll discover the meaning of those words. Now, the mega churches serve lots of people and they get criticized. I don't have a problem with the idea of a mega church and thousands of people getting together to worship the Lord. I don't have a problem with that. There's the potential for fellowship. And wherever two or more are gathered in his name, and there's potential to develop friendships, commonality would be Christ-centered, marriages can be saved. I don't have any problem at all. Kids get recreational activities, but there are pitfalls. There are pitfalls. The mega church concept really is given credit to Bill Hybel, I believe it was back in the 80s, and he went to rock bands and you didn't have a dress code and you could wear your shorts or your sweats or whatever. And I go to church. I'm very casual, very casual. And it's part of the culture. It's not disrespectful. It's just part of the culture. I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with the rock bands. People criticize, where's the organ music? Well, the reality is this, is that music can reflect the time and the culture that we're in. And it can be used for promoting Christ or taking away from. So it's not the music per se. And I hear a lot of people in my age group really bemoan that. I want to hear Rock of Ages to the organ. There's nothing wrong with that. I found it actually to be fairly inspiring, but I don't have a problem with the rock bands. And especially with the music I hear coming out of that in most church services, it's deeply devotional. So I think we hedge our arguments in the wrong place. But these mega pastors like Hybel and then Rick Warren came along, they were covered with problems. And we'll get to the three reasons why mega churches fail. The other one I've really looked at too is Joel Osteen. And he takes criticism for what I don't think he deserves as much criticism as he gets. And some people are going to throw their hands in the air and say, oh, Dave, you're being sacrilegious. He's terrible. He's not. No. He presents one side of the gospel. And it is linked to some degree to scripture. But he says, God wants you to live life more abundantly. That's biblical, people. That is biblical. But there's the second side of the coin when you turn it over. When you become a Christian, there'll be serious times, very serious challenges. Make no mistake about it. And that's something that Joel doesn't do much with. He just says, stay in the faith and you'll come through it. There's some good value in that, but there's a method to staying in the faith and how you deal with tragedy. And that is prescribed by our faith. And I think this is where his gospel falls short. But I have nothing to, I don't have any problem with prosperity gospel if there is the flip side. God does want you to have life more abundantly. But sometimes he decides there's going to be challenges for you that your spirit and your soul need to grow appropriately. And you're going to be tested. And especially when you become a young Christian, you're going to be tested strongly. And this is where I think that Joel Osteen's message for me falls short of the mark. But there are some parts that are pretty good. I heard him very early on in his career, and he said something that has stuck with me. I kept thinking, oh, I really dread Judgment Day, standing up before all people and being judged for all the stupid and negative things I did. I think we're all there, aren't we? And I'm thinking, oh, I th thought I could bury that stuff in my past and never be accountable for it. I can. I just have to repent and ask for forgiveness and go a new path. And it's like God has his hand on the delete button in the computer. So delete that sin, delete that sin, delete. But you have to do it the right way. Joel Osteen said that. And it was the metaphor that I was able to bring into my life. And I thought, okay, don't be so hard on yourself for your past. And we all do that. We all have the self-recrimination. And I think that we have to realize if you're sincere in your repentance, God has a very short memory. But I want to get down to the three reasons why mega churches are failing and then the ultimate implication for this. Number one, these churches operate largely at a surface level. Not all of them, but most of them do. And I've read a study, I forget the pastor that commissioned this now, but I've read a couple of studies along this line. Mega churches make it easy to come. It's, no dress code, music's modern, okay? There's a lot of entertainment. It's almost like a theme park. You've got the restaurants, you've got stuff for the kids. See, I don't have any problem with any of that. In fact, actually, I think it takes living in society and makes it into a microcosm on a church campus. Like I said, some people say, oh, this is antithetical to Christ. No, it's not. No, it's not. The way that mega churches are constructed and built, I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is do they get to the deepest part of the soul where real transformation takes place? And the studies that I've read say that the majority of people that attend these churches, they want it easy. They're not prepared to deal with the challenges. It doesn't deepen their spiritual faith. They come, they're entertained, they go home, they think they've done their duty, and they're serving God. And when you really analyze it from a research standpoint, many of these mega churches fall short of the mark in terms of helping their people get to a deeper level. Now, some do a better job. Some offer, the Bible classes, growth classes, small group fellowship on a regular basis, usually a weekly basis, that can help make up some of the gap. And some mega churches do that better than others. But basically, what we know is that there is surface level, and when crises come and people feel like, okay, my faith isn't doing me any good, so cast the faith aside, that is a common byproduct. And then, of course, there are scandals. And the scandals come along and they have wrecked the churches. Now, Heibel and Warren have had theirs. I don't know that Joel Osteen has, but he's had some incidences where I believe it was, what was it, in COVID that his church turned away people that were homeless that really needed help in those desperate economic times. I think rightly so, Lakewood Church took a lot of criticism for that. Do you think Jesus would have done that? That's the barometer question that I would ask. And of course, Jesus wouldn't have ignored that problem. In fact, he repeatedly picked on people who were, quote, lesser than to carry out his mission. He picked the unlikely. That means that we have to be kind to people from all walks of life. On first reason here is that people don't get to the deeper spiritual levels. And scandal can rock these churches. And I'll get into the effect of that here in a second. The second factor is we discovered this in COVID. This is where mega churches have really taken a left turn and they've become very, very difficult to maintain. Joel Osteen's lost 50% of his money. I mean, in the church was bringing in $90 million and that's cut in half. Church attendance now is cut in half. And the reason why is when we were locked out of the churches, even though Newsom got to eat in his French restaurant and Nancy Pelosi got her hair done during the little double standards that were going on. But when we were locked out of our churches, people discovered technology and it became easier and more convenient to stay home and watch it on TV. And I have to confess, when I have a schedule where I'm traveling or doing a conference, that's what I resort to, but it's a resort to. Not a habit. And some people have made that a habit, and that has lessened church attendance. That has lessened the coffers. But there's another factor, too. Our economy just flat sucks. That's why people aren't giving as much. And mega churches' donations are down an estimated 40 to 50%. They're selling off properties, they're cutting back programs, they're laying off staff. So that's the number one reason here, one of the reasons why mega churches are failing. The technology aspect of it adds to it, and now it becomes convenient. And when they're passing the plate, people aren't seeing that, okay, you don't get that at home. The embarrassment of not having the money to put into the offering plate. And then the third factor is these churches are built on personalities, and this is a problem. This is really a problem. I don't like the fact that most mega churches are based on a sole personality. And Hybel, Warren, Osteen all fit that model. They're the symbol of the church. And sometimes people will criticize and say they become more of a symbol than Christ. And I can't say that I think that's an invalid criticism. I think there is some merit to saying that. But when these people die or they retire or they're caught up in scandal, the churches fail because they don't promote the depth of commitment to Christ to keep the church going. It shouldn't matter what human is leading the church if it's Christ-centered, but it does matter if your church is based on an identity and a personality and they go away, what becomes of your church? Placing your values in the wrong place. Promoting the church leaders into a form of a deity. That's sacrilegious. And I can't say that that doesn't happen. Those are the three primary reasons why. Now, is Christianity in trouble because mega churches are failing? That is the fundamental question. And that's what concerns me the most because we need to grow the faith. Hello, Charlie Kirk, does that ring a bell? Yeah. And I'll just say this about TPUSA, and I hoped that they come back to Charlie's vision and purpose, but they're not there now. Charlie was Jesus, family, country, you. TPUSA is me, myself, and I. They speak the words, but they're shallow. In their application, there's no question that that's going on. Is there an antidote to this? Is the collapse of many mega churches, is it ominous for the faith? The answer is yes and no. If it turns people away from the faith because a mega church fails, that they tie their faith to an institution, then yes. All institutions eventually go away in one form or another. Tying your faith, which is eternal, to a temporary status organization is a huge mistake, but no one ever explains that to people because they may not be as dedicated to the megachurch as they might otherwise be, realizing that is only the vehicle for the development of their faith, not synonymous with their faith. And it's, I liken it to like having a car. And you drive your car for so many years, and then you get rid of your car and you get a new car. That's the vehicle. The objective is transportation. Well, the same thing is true with the analogy for our faith. Our faith can use a vehicle to help propel it, but it doesn't mean it stays married to it and it doesn't become of super importance, equal to or above the faith itself. And I've looked at countries where religious persecution has been devastating to a faith. And in particular, I looked at the old Soviet Union with the Stalin crackdown, and people would get into highly secure small groups, highly secure. And you only got into the group if you knew you could be trusted. And even then, there was a risk. And people would share their faith and grow in the basements of Soviet homes all across the nation. And if that didn't happen that way, the faith would have become extinct because of the long 70-year reign of communism. And communism is satanic. Make no mistake about it. And when we see the socialists bordering on communist leaders getting elected, we are electing Satan. I'm going to be very, very, very clear on that point. So, small groups, wherever two or more are gathered in his name, the Lord's Spirit will be there. That's the promise we get, and that's really where we should hang our hat. Mega churches go away, but your faith should not. And I would challenge all people that are involved in a large church. Mega churches are defined as 2,000 or more people weekly attending a church. Okay. That church is secondary to your faith. And when your church takes a left turn and starts promoting anti-biblical doctrine, which many of them have in this woke age, it's time to walk away from the church. And when your church begins to crumble, and churches usually crumble because they're not fulfilling their mission, they're not leading to spiritual growth, causing people to wander in search of more, then it's time for you to do the same thing. Remember, church is only the vehicle. Your faith is what really matters. So is Christianity in trouble? Not if we can help people realize the priorities. The priority is not your church. That is secondary. It's a vehicle to your faith, period. And if America began to accept that, the demise of the mega churches would morph. I mean, we would just change how we worship, not what we worship. Tell me your thoughts. Are you going through something similar? What do you see in your church? And realize no church is going to be perfect because when humans run the church, sin will abound. Hopefully, churches can somewhat control that aspect of it and fulfill their mission. So tell me, what does your church do? Have you had a crisis of faith because of this? Let me know, because ultimately, people, this is the question of the age. I can talk to you about the property tax ripoff that's going on. Oh, and by the way, we got new information on that. I can tell you about all these things, the corruption of TPUSA, or should I say, the apparent shady dealings. Let me be more clear on that point. But at the end of the day, these are symptoms that result from the fundamental problem of a lack of discipline in one spirit-filled life. We have a big problem in this country. We have lost our spiritual purpose to a large extent. How do you maintain yours? Share your story. It will be inspiring to other people.